Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Shall we just pray before we get into the word this morning? Father, we thank you that your word is life to us. Father, I thank you that your word speaks this morning to every one of our lives. Whatever congregation we're in, that this morning you would release faith, strength, encouragement, and from that there'll be breakthroughs in our lives. There'll be breakthroughs around our lives as a result of what you do in us as a church family across all congregations today. And as we respond to you, Father, I thank you there's a new release in our lives, in our homes, in our workplace, in our social life, when we're out and about, whatever you've called us to be doing, whatever small group we're in, whatever ministry activity we're involved in, wherever we're serving in the life of the church, Father, I thank you for a fresh release of your Spirit in us and amongst us. Father, I thank you where there's a fresh release, there's always a release of your power to do the impossible, to accomplish what's impossible for us, but is possible with you. And so, Father, we thank you that you give us ears to hear what you are saying this morning, hearts that are responsive to your word today. And Father, I just thank you wherever any of us might have been to many, many meetings before or heard some of the scriptures before or what we might look at today, that we would come with fresh eyes, fresh ears, a fresh heart today. That this would be like the first time that we've heard your word. It would be like fresh water that flows and runs over our lives this morning. Amen. Father, for those here today, in any of our congregations that don't know you, Father, I ask you that you would speak right into their hearts and lives today. The reality of who you are. Your purposes for each person here and across the church. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Amen. Amen. Just turn to the person next and say, I'm ready to hear the word and to be transformed by it. Anybody believe that? Great. Well, this morning we are speaking to all three congregations right across the church. So let's welcome all the guys from Worthing and Crawley as well this morning. Let's give them a big welcome. Great. Now, there's quite a number of scriptures we're going to be going through this morning. And you know, the kind of overall theme that we've been looking at as a church the last month or so and getting into through the autumn is really about being a people of light and what that looks like being a people of light in the context of darkness around us in the world. And with that being a people of light, God has been speaking to us about a kind of faith that we have and that God is stirring in us, a militant faith, a bold faith that is needed in the day and the time that we are in. So there's a word that is going to kind of summarize this morning's message. And we'll get there in a few minutes in 2 Samuel chapter 5. But there's a word that's going to kind of sum up this morning. That's the word breakthrough. Okay. There's a word, parats, which is that means breakthrough. And we'll come to that in a few moments and what that looks like. But God is calling the church, not just us, but the church to be a people of breakthrough in the earth. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The first few minutes is going to set the scene for what we're going to look at in 2 Samuel chapter 5. So Matthew 6, 9 to 10. These scriptures are probably well known to many of you. It's the beginning of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And when the disciples came and said, teach us how to pray. This is what Jesus then said. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he starts with relationship, doesn't he? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, worshipped, honored, revered be your name. Then in that context of relationship, he then says, this is how we're to pray, not just with words, but in the way that we pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus, right at that moment, was setting out the mandate for believers. This is the purpose of a believer on earth. If it's the purpose for a believer, then it is the purpose for the church, for the people of God. That we're to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, many of us know that through the Gospels, Jesus always taught using parables. He never spoke a message or brought a message without speaking or using a parable, a story that was relatable for people to understand the point that he was making about the kingdom. So we are part of a kingdom. What does it mean to be part of a kingdom? If there is a kingdom, there must be a king. And where there's a king, there's a rule and reign. Now, we live in the United Kingdom. We have a queen. But there must be some royalty or monarch that is ruling, if you like. So we live in a kingdom. It's called God's kingdom. And our king is Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Does anybody believe that this morning? All right. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So his kingdom is about his rule and his reign. And so if his kingdom is about his rule and his reign, and Jesus said, this is how you're to pray and how to live, your kingdom come, God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, then the church is called to see God's rule and reign come on earth as it is in heaven. Are you with me today? But where does God start? God starts with you and I. He starts with people. So in Luke 17, verse 20, 21, Jesus said to them in there, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. So where does God want his kingdom rule and reign? He wants it in people. If God's kingdom rule and reign is in people, then his kingdom rule and reign will begin to be worked through people, and we'll see the effect and the impact of that around our lives. So if as individuals, let's put it, we don't rule and reign in our own lives, we won't see the victories around our lives that we need to see. Multiply that up to the church, whether ours or the church. If the church does not rule and reign in the way that God wants us to on earth, then we won't see the release of his rule and reign through us as the church in the world, in our streets, communities, neighborhoods, towns, cities, nation, wherever. So God gives a mandate. He gives the purpose for the church to be a kingdom people with his rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. So it starts with us as individuals, his rule and reign in our own personal lives. If his rule and reign is in our own personal lives, then we will see his rule and reign through our lives. Therefore, we'll begin to see, if we can use this word, breakthroughs happen through our lives because of his rule and reign in our lives. So the church is here as kingdom people to live for the king and his purposes on earth. Anybody agree with that? The church is his body, the body of Christ on earth. So if he's the head of the church and we are his body, then we get our direction, our life and everything from the head speaking and flowing down into the body so that we can then serve Jesus as the head and who he is on earth. What else is the church? As well as a kingdom people living for the king and his purposes, as well as being the body of Christ, the church is also the salt of the earth. So if we're the salt of the earth, we're the flavor in the earth. Back in the day, in Bible times, salt was used to slow down the decay of food. So fresh food or meat or whatever would be put in a salty environment to help it last longer. Well, the church is called to be salt of the earth in society, which means we're here to slow down initially the moral and spiritual decay and decline that is in society. But also, we're not here just to slow it down. We're here to begin to see a change in society, in our communities, one life after the other. So we can talk about the big picture of what God wants to do, but it happens one life after another. And so as we allow God to rule and reign in our lives as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then his rule and reign is going to work through our lives. And it starts in our homes, in our families. Then from our families, it starts to work around our friendship groups, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, those that we do life with, share life with, and all of that kind of thing. So that that begins to flow out of us so that we begin to flavor and affect the lives of those who are around us. If you know the story in Matthew 5, where it talks about the church being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, it says that Jesus says there, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's only worth being thrown out and then trampled on. And I wondered, I don't know if you ever wonder what some things mean in the Bible, but I wondered, so what does that mean? Trampled on. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth 1 minute, but if we lose our saltiness, it's only good for being thrown out and trampled on? And I kind of did a little bit of Googling, try to find out what exactly did he mean by that. Well, apparently in that time, when they were building houses, if they wanted to put a floor in the house, and especially if you're going to have guests and come and stay, they would put them on the sort of top floor. As well as having wooden kind of structures and everything, they would make a what do you call stuff you put on the walls that then paint on top of plaster? Yeah, they would make a kind of plaster. Sorry, and they'd make a kind of plaster, and if they wanted to make it really hard so that it wouldn't crack and crumble, they would put salt. They would mix salt in the plaster, and that would make it go hard. But obviously, in doing that, it would make the salt completely useless. It would lose all its flavor and saltiness because it's been completely absorbed by the plaster. But yet it made the plaster hard so that they could put it on, that, you know, when they put it would set so people could walk on it. So that's what Jesus meant. If you lose your saltiness, you're not going to have any impact. And you lose your saltiness by getting completely absorbed by the world that is around you, the society that you live in. And so we're not called to be absorbed by the culture of the day, by the winds of change that are going on. We're not here to be absorbed and taken over. We're called to be salt and light, to be flavor in the environment that we're in. We're called to be life into those situations. Amen. Then we're called to be a light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Why does Jesus speak like this about the church? Because he knows when someone does not know God, when someone is not in relationship with God, they are living in spiritual darkness. Most people that are out in our world that do not know Jesus live in spiritual darkness. And that means there is no light of God in their lives. But people don't realize there is no light of God in their lives because all they've ever known is the life they've known. And spiritually, the life they've known is living in darkness. So how will people know and realize they're living in darkness unless there is light that they come into contact with that shows them and reveals to them something different than the life that they are in? And so we see here, he says, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. So without light, people will never know there is another way. And they will certainly never be able to find their way out of that darkness because they do not know that there is a light that is possible to come out of the darkness. So we're not just talking about being spiritually, you know, dead in terms of I don't know Jesus, but we're talking about people's lives being captured by all kinds of things, addictions, pain, shame, guilt, things that rack people's lives that they want to be free from, that they don't want in their lives. They want another way, but yet they don't know that there is another way. They don't know that there is a light. So people that are in darkness, they're not aware that there is a spiritual battle going on in life. They might feel like there's a battle going on in their life about something, but they're not aware ultimately it's a spiritual battle that is taking place. They're not aware of the spiritual realities that are going on. But when you believe and when you come into the light and you begin to a relationship with God and you know God, then you come alive to a spiritual war that is taking place. You begin to be aware of pushback, if we can use that word this morning, pushback, darkness and light. When people are living in darkness, if we can say darkness is over here, they're just living in what they've known. But when you hear about the light, which most of us in the room have, and we've responded to the one who is like Jesus at some point, and we gave our lives to him. He forgave us of all the things, all the sin that we committed and done, and he separated us from that because it's dark. He separated the darkness in us from the light of who he is, separated us out of that and brought us into the light of who he is. Then we came aware suddenly that it's not as easy as we thought to walk with God, because there is a dominion over here of darkness that wants to push back and pull back whatever's going on in us so that we don't live in the light of who we now are in God. And this darkness wanted to push us back or pull us back, both personally and as a body, as a church, any church. A few weeks ago, we were talking about Daniel chapter 1. And in Daniel chapter 1, the young guys from Jerusalem, the Jews, were some Jewish guys, were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And you parallel the way he wanted to change their identity and submerge them into the culture of the Babylonians because he wanted them to serve him. And the enemy works in the same way. He seduces people. He gives them an identity that is as far away from God as possible. And the devil doesn't care what people get into. He doesn't care what happens in their life as long as they don't come into their destiny with God. The enemy, the devil will use anything to keep people away from God. He doesn't mind what people get into as long as they don't discover who God is. Because he knows when they discover who God is and they find God, God sets them free from the enemy's hold. Why? Because the enemy knows ultimately his days are numbered. And he wants to take as many people with him to the destiny that he knows he's going to have. It's not like the enemy's blind to the purposes of God. Why does the enemy want to fight God? Because we've replaced the relationship that he had with God when he led the worship in heaven. We have replaced him as the ones who know God and worship him. He's been thrown out. There's no way back. And he wants to make sure he takes as many people with him for an eternity without God. Wow. That's the battle that we are in. So when God brings us out of darkness and into light, yes, he sets us free. Yes, he makes us a new person. Yes, he gives us a new identity in him. Yes, he sets us free from all of the past and everything it represented. But then as people of light, he then says, right, what you've got to do is go back, not to be absorbed by this, but you've got to go into it to bring people out of it so they can see the same thing happen in them as has happened in you and I. Are you here this morning? So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 and 4 says, our gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they cannot see the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So there's a spiritual battle going on out there. A lot of this stuff you know, guys, all right? So it's not like, can we have a bit of revelation we've never heard before? God wants us to be living more in what we already know. Are you here? So God's kind of saying the same thing week in, week out, because he wants us to be living in more fully what he's saying to us. So the enemy is out there blinding the minds, the lives of those who don't believe. And that's why he's called us to be light, because it's only light that can come in. And light is revelation. Light switches something on in a way you've never seen before. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, well-known verses again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. For our struggle is not against people, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we live in a spiritual battle. If we're called as individuals and as the church to be kingdom people, and at the heart of what Jesus began to teach the disciples, it's about relationship with the Father, to revere him, to know him, but it's also to pray his purposes from the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is up there. So God's called us to live on a mission. He's called us to live daily as a people of light. And 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, this is awesome. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. So what is the divine power that we have? Firstly, the Word of God. We have the Word. The Word is divine power that overcomes the enemy. Pastor Gary has been going around all the congregations bringing a word. And one of the things that he has been speaking about is that having a two-edged sword. That, you know, God speaks and then we wield that sword. And there's two edges. God speaks and the other edge is when we then speak. And that two-edged sword breaks through. We have the power of the Word. That's a weapon that we have in our life. It's not a natural weapon. It's a supernatural one. It's divine power to demolish strongholds. So why are we here as believers? Now we are saved. We are here to know God, but we're also here to live as people that demolish strongholds. Amen. About people's lives that are then begin to affect their lives around them. There's a battle going on. What's another divine power? It's prayer. Prayer and the Word together. When we pray, divine power is released to demolish strongholds. When we pray. When we don't pray, we're saying, God, I can do this myself. We can handle it when we don't pray. But when we pray, we're basically saying, Father, I can't do this. I cannot accomplish, no matter how great or small. So, Father, I want my total trust and dependence to be on you. So here's an example, a little story, little parable, if you like, or story anyway. Over the last few days, I've been getting back into a little bit of exercise, okay? Haven't done any for about 3 or 4 months. And before Jane and I went away, I was kind of doing various things most days of the week just to try and at least stop my body aching and slowing down or whatever. So, and before we went away, I thought, great, 6 weeks away, I'll have loads of time, do loads of, you know, ramp it up a little bit more of this, that and the other. Didn't do any. So did a lot of walking, but didn't do any exercises at all, apart from walking while we were away. And since I've been back, haven't done any. So the last few days, I've been thinking, right, I'm just feeling a bit, you know, a bit tight here and there. And, you know, you just notice, don't you? Anybody else notice or is it just everybody be honest this morning? Yeah. Maybe if you're under 25, you're like, no, I don't, you're sorted. When you, anyway, so... So what I last few days, just been doing, you know, different types of press-ups and stretches and a few other things. And we've got this little exercise trampoline thing. And I don't know if any of you heard of Cellucize. You can Google it and whatever. Amazing sort of stuff if you use it to do certain things. Anyway, yesterday I was kind of aching a little bit and thought, I don't care, just going to carry on. It's good for me. And when I woke up this morning and I woke up and I was like, oh, my body hurts. And all down here, you know, and across here and down here. And how many of you know what the plank is? Yeah, it's really good for you. But man, it hurts. And so I've been doing that and everything. And so this place, like, oh, so as I got out of bed, you know when you've got no aches and pains, you take your body for granted, don't you? You just get up, get out, get in the shower, hallelujah, off you go. But when I this morning, as I went to move, it was like, oh, that's tight. That hurts. Oh, so I got out, sat on the edge of my bed. It's like, oh, my back hurts, my chest there, everything. Whoa. Okay. And it was just a couple of moments, right? Sit up, put your arms out, stretch a little bit, you know. But you know, when we, yeah, it's like that every day for you, is it, mate? All right. Okay. When we want to step up a little bit in fitness, there's going to be a little bit of stretching. When we want a greater capacity in our health and fitness and well-being, there's going to be a little bit of stretch. There's going to be a little bit of pain. I don't think there's any exercise. If you know an exercise or some way of getting fit without any pain at all, please come and let me know afterwards. And you can speak next week and everybody will be waiting to hear But it's the same when God speaks into our lives. Put it this way. I've been living at a certain level of health and fitness for a while. But I want that to change. Now, I can make a personal choice as to whether I want to be fit and healthy or not, what I eat and how I exercise. Spiritually, it's the same. We can decide how healthy and fit we are spiritually by the choices that we make. So to begin to exercise the last few days, I've had to decide, right, this is what I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up. And the first thing I'm going to do for 15, 20 minutes is exercise and just discipline myself to do it. Because I know after a couple of weeks, for me, how this works for me, a little bit of discipline for the first few days just to get back into it then becomes I want to do it. And I know it's good for me once you get over that the initial pain bit for the first few days. But even then when you do it, there's still that, but you know this feels good now, not just painful. And you get past that and that kind of, you have to get some momentum going, and then you begin to get into a role of what you're doing, and then you want to do it and you definitely make time for it, and it's now part of my day and you feel the benefit of it. But when God speaks, it's because he wants to release something more in terms of spiritual strength and vitality. And therefore we need to exercise our faith. We need to exercise spiritually to grow in the way that God wants, so that we see the results that God wants. So when we begin to exercise spiritually and we step up in the spirit, you know, in terms of how what God is saying to us, we see something happen in us, but we also then see things change around us. So let's have a look at 2 Samuel 5. This is the meat of the message today. 2 Samuel 5, 17 onwards. We've been reading through 1 and 2 Samuel over the last, during September, and 2 Samuel during this month. And these are one of the chapters a few days ago. And we're also reading through Revelation, but we'll just stick with Samuel this morning. Is that all right? And so verse 17 onwards, just want to bring out a few things. In the context of what God is saying about light and darkness, about how we as individuals, God wants us to have a greater capacity spiritually. How do you do that? You've got to take your faith out for a walk. You've got to take your faith out for a run. You've got to take your faith for a workout. You've got to begin to get hold of the word and begin to speak it and declare it and pray it in a fresh way. You know, when God wants us to step into more with him, that it's not like the Holy Spirit just dumps himself on us and we go, well, hallelujah, I'm in a new place with God. You know, often it's because we give ourselves to him and then he gives ourselves to us. How do we do that? Father, I want you to speak to me through your word. So I'm going to sit down and read your word. I'm not going to rush it, but Holy Spirit, would you speak as I read your word? Would you just speak into my life? Would you show me what you're saying? And as God speaks, he's speaking life. He's speaking strength. He's speaking health. And when you begin to respond to that and begin to pray it and declare it and speak it over your own life and others, something's getting activated. Something's getting stronger. Then you begin to hear God's voice more clearly. And then you begin to rise up with a greater strength on the inside. Because when God speaks, he often speaks to you first. And as we respond to him, he's then going to speak about other things that we need to step up into and see dominion over. Because there's always pushback. There's constant pushback. I don't know about you. Every day, for me, there's resistance every day. Now, the resistance I get will be different than you may get, depending on your life and what you're doing and all of that kind of thing. But one of the pushbacks for me constantly that the enemy, it always wants to undermine in terms of what I do, is nobody believes in you. Now, I don't believe the enemy, but that's what he says. Nobody believes in you. You know, and he's on saying, why do you think people are part of this church? Well, they're only hanging around long enough till there's something better to go to. There's those sort of thoughts that go on. I know it's a lie, right? I know that. I'm just letting you know what the enemy says to me. I'm not living under it, right? But what I'm saying is there's constant pushback. But the pushback the enemy comes with is always in the context of the reality of your life and a moment that you're living in. And it's what you do with it and how you respond to it that determines whether you live under it, whether you ignore it and you carry on. The enemy's tactics do not change. They are the same. He's a repetitive thing. Because he's not creative. All the creativity he lost a long time ago. And so he just repeats what he does. Let's have a look in 2 Samuel, because it will say it better than I'm saying it now. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. So the Philistines, let's say that's the enemy, the devil or whatever, or darkness, opposition, pushback. When the enemy, the pushback, the darkness, heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. The Holy Spirit is in and on your life. You've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, to be anointed? It means to be set apart for something holy. So when you know God, you've been set apart for something holy, and the Holy Spirit comes on your life and anoints you with the holiness of God, with the presence of God in your life. And with that anointing, there's always God's grace, God's enabling, so that you can then live in the power of that anointing or the Holy Spirit on your life to be who God's called you to be, and then to do the things that God has called you to do. So there's an anointing and grace on your life to do certain things that I don't have, but there's an anointing and grace on my life that you don't have. Because we're a body, and God anoints and graces us with giftings and abilities that when we come together as a body, we function in a healthy, fit way that God wants us to. So God's not called us to be clones of one another. He's called us to be children of God with unique giftings and graces on our lives. And as each part does its work, as it says in Ephesians 4, the body of Christ is built up, matures, it's strengthened, and becomes everything that it's called to be. Okay? So the enemy comes looking because he knows you're anointed. Because you've got something on your life from God. And what he wants to do, he wants to try and rob you, or try and get you to think he's trying to rob you of what you have. He does not want you to operate in the anointing on your life. The Philistines, however you want to say the word, they knew that David had been anointed. So they're like, right, we've got to come against him because this guy's got a bit of a track record. This guy gets victories. And if he is now king, we're in more trouble, so let's take him out now. And that's what the enemy's seeking to do, take you and I out. But David heard about this and went down to the stronghold. Stronghold was a place of safety and everything, okay? A place where he knew he wasn't going to be found. So we want when the enemy comes against us, in this pushback that we get constantly, he went to the stronghold. We go to our secret place, if we can call it that, our place with God. And so we go down to that place. We go to that place. Interesting, the words here. The Philistines came up. David went down. The enemy always wants to make himself look bigger and greater. And the best thing we can do is we then go to our knees. We go down and we say, Father, I thank you that you are Lord of my life. You are King of my life. And I thank you that no matter how big the enemy is, the circumstances are, the negativity is, I thank you when I go to my knees, I'm bowing to the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I thank you that in the stronghold, in this secret place, as I surrender to you, as I live, as I submit myself to you, you then say I can rise up and come against the enemy and resist him, and he has to flee from me. So David understood this. In the stronghold, there is victory. Then the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. I love this. Really simple. So his enemy's coming against him. He goes to the stronghold, secret place, and he says, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord answered, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. Love that. Do you think the Lord will ever say to you, no, I'm not going to give you a victory, I'm going to give you a defeat? No. Jesus has never known defeat. He has only known victory, right? So when we go to the Lord with something, he's going to speak and show us what we need to do to see victory, to see breakthrough, to see something take place in our lives or for other people. Because this message is going to end up not about us, but about others, okay? Shall I go up and attack the Philistines? Shall I go and overtake the enemy? Will you hand them over? Yes, I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went to Baal Perazim. Now, Baal Perazim, Baal means the Lord, and Perazim means breaks out. So David goes to the place where God's going to break out. Okay, this is important, okay? There's two things going on here. Firstly, he goes to the stronghold. That's where he went down. When you come before God, you go down. Yes, we come before him, but we're submitting, surrendering, right? That's the place where God speaks. He releases. Yes, there's a release of what God wants to do. But then we have to respond to what he says by doing what he says. We pray whatever he says, but then we act upon that. And he went to a place called Baal Perazim, which means the place where the Lord breaks out. When we do what God says, that's where we're going to see God break out and do what he says he's going to do. But we have to respond to him to see God breaking out. Are you there? So you get victory in here, in the secret place, in the stronghold. That's where you get victory on the inside. Because you know what it's like? We all have pushback all the time. For some of you, pushback from the enemy is you're worthless, you're rubbish, you're no good, you're an idiot, you'll never come to anything. You know, for others, it's, you're better than everybody else, aren't you? You're this and that and the other. Everybody else is subservient to you. There's different ways that the enemy knows he can try and, whatever, fish in our world, you know? And so he tries to get us off to the left or to the right so that there's no release of God. So when we're in this place, this is where we get victory on the inside. And then when we then begin to pray and release it, whatever, then we've got to go to see the victory on the outside. So Baal Perazim, that's the place where we're going to see breakthrough. That could be in your lounge. It could be out in the town. It could be at a friend's house. It could be here on a Sunday. It could be in a small group. It could be wherever we are, that moment of breakthrough, because the place of breakthrough and release or breaking out is wherever we go in response to what God has said. That's where you see the breaking out. See, often what we do is we go to the stronghold, we pray, we might get a sense of victory or something's happened, and then we go about our daily life saying, well, when's it going to take place then? When am I going to see it? And God said, well, you did the first part, now you've got to do the next part, which is the action bit of whatever God is saying is relevant at that moment in our lives. So David went to this place and he says, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against the enemy before me. So the place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there. So when we get a victory in the secret place over a friend or a neighbor, a work colleague, whoever it is, and then we respond to whatever God says, when there's that breaking out, look what happens, it says here. It says, the Philistines abandoned their idols there. So where there's a breaking out, God does something in other people's lives where he separates them from everything that has been an idol to them or has captured them or held them or whatever it is, and God sets them free. So your breakthrough is not just about you or me personally, us breaking through, but whatever breakthrough you have is going to affect other people's lives. Because David went to the stronghold, he got something in his spirit from God. They went and did what he said, but look then what it says. And David and his men carried them off. So your personal victory will lead to other people having a victory. Your personal breakthrough will lead to other people having a breakthrough. If you're a parent in your home, whatever you're living in will influence the atmosphere and the environment in your home, in your family. So however you are as a person, spiritually or naturally, however you are, you will determine the atmosphere, the culture, the environment in your home. So if you want a place of peace and rest in your home, then we need to be people of peace and rest. How do you become a person of peace and rest? You constantly have to surrender everything to the Lord. And as we've talked about living in the great rest before, you sit in that place with God and it's like, Father, I give you everything. All the stuff that's concerning me, I submit to you. Everything I'm worried about, I submit to you. Everything I'm annoyed about, Father, I forgive me, but I submit it to you. Everything that's going on around me that is shaking my world, Father, I submit that and surrender it to you. And it's allowing the peace, the total well-being of God, so that you're not walking around like this all the time, which makes everybody in your house a bit on edge as well, because you're on edge. Or for whatever reason. But if you know God's in charge, He's Lord, I'm living in total well-being, there'll be a peace and well-being in your life that your family and everybody else will live in. When people come into your home, they're like, wow, I love being here. It's so peaceful. Great. You then carry that into the world around you. But then let's carry on a couple of minutes. Then we'll pray. Once more, the Philistines, verse 22, came up. This is like the enemy. The enemy does not give up. There's constant pushback, you know, from the enemy in our lives. And the Philistines didn't learn either. It says, once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the same valley they'd just been defeated in. The enemy often just comes back with the same rubbish. And he's like, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep punching the same thing in that Christian's life. Because I think if I keep hitting the same spot hard enough at the same time, eventually they'll give in and not believe it and fall away. Are you with me? And this is what the Philistines did. They came to the same valley. So David did the same thing. I'm not just going to do this in my own strength and do what we did before. I'm going to go and inquire of the Lord. So we went back to the stronghold, inquired of the Lord. And this is what God said to him this side. Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam tree. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly. Because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. That means the Lord's going in front of you to break out and to accomplish everything that he wants to do. So he goes back, same army, same enemy, same circumstances. But how God got him to deal with it was different than it was the first time. So that's why we need to be, so Father, I had a victory over that, but the enemy's come back and he's coming to have another go. What is it you're saying to me now? He might say the same thing, do the same thing, but he might say do something different, believe different, act different, or whatever it might be in our lives. It's a bit of a weird one, hearing in the tops of the trees, troops marching and or whatever, all that kind of stuff. God does unusual things, doesn't he? But it means God's going out and he'll strike the Philistines. So David, verse 25, did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. That's about 15 miles, the distance between those two places. So it was a bit of a battering, 15 miles. He was, you know, it wasn't just, you know, for 50 yards, we'll give them a go and then that'll do. Let's go and have lunch because they'll come back. So we're gonna keep going until we've pulverized that which is coming against us. And that's how God wants us to be in our lives personally. That's how he wants us to be as a church about the stuff that's going on around us in society. That in prayer, in the spirit, the spiritual realities of what's going on, that we don't stop praying until we have the victory, and we don't stop going until we see what God has said he wants to see through our lives. Are you with me this morning? So here's a question for you. In the season that we're in, and with what God is saying to us, in any season, God commissions us to live in a certain way, to be in line with what he is saying, his purposes. So at the moment, this season, the commission is to be light. Now, we're always called to be light, okay? But God's obviously shining his light on that in a particular way because he wants us to step up. He wants us to see things more happen through our lives, okay? To be light, okay? So the question is here, who are you and I individually, who are we breaking through for? So it's a selfless question. Who are you and I breaking through for? Let's go home. See you later. So who are you and I breaking through for? If we understand the big picture, we're going to pray in a moment. If we understand the big picture, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, relationship, worship, reverence of the God of heaven and earth. In the context of that relationship and that adoration, that reverence for who he is, your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He then goes on to pray, give us our daily bread. Give us everything we need to see that happen. He's our supply, he's everything we need. Keep us from temptation, because if we're going to see your kingdom come, we're going to be people of light in the darkness, and we're going to be tempted in all kinds of ways to compromise or to be absorbed by that darkness, to be sucked back into it in a way that then overcomes us. So even as he's praying through, he's like, God, you're everything we need. You're our food, you're our sustenance, you're everything we need. Keep us from temptation and those that can tempt us and everything, because you've called us to be people of light in the darkness. So there's that big picture, but it has to be worked out personally in our lives. So if God is the God of breakthrough, he will always lead his people to be a people of breakthrough. If the Spirit of God is a spirit of breakthrough, then we have the same spirit on the inside that is the spirit of breakthrough in our lives. So we're in a spiritual battle. Let's stand together, shall we? And we're going to respond in a really practical way this morning to what God is saying to us in terms of a response just in here in the next few minutes. And only you'll know the answer to this question about who are you breaking through for. For me, there's one or two family members that don't know Jesus in terms of different sides of the family, whatever, that don't know Jesus. One or two others that are sort of live around us. And those are the people that it's like contending for. I want to see a breakthrough in, see God breaking out in different ways. And so even how I pray sometimes is different than the time before. So we've just had a week of praying, the first 7 days of the month. And at different points during the week, stopping and praying. Right, I'm now praying for this family member. I'm praying for that friend or this neighbor or whatever it is. And sometimes God gives you a scripture or he shows you how to pray. And it's different than it was before. And you're like, wow. And then he might say, okay, now do this, do that. Or go and have a conversation with him or invite him out for a coffee or whatever it might be. And it's like in that moment, going to have a coffee with somebody doesn't sound like a breakthrough moment, a breakout moment. But who knows? When you've been praying in the stronghold, in the secret place, and you've been getting some victory for this person's life, who knows what God is doing and preparing them for while you're getting a victory for them. Amen. So let's close your eyes for a moment. Who are you breaking through for? Who is it? It could be a family. It could be an individual. It could be a couple. It could be whatever context is in. Who are you breaking through for? Who are you contending for? If you standing there go, well, I don't know. I haven't really thought about this. I haven't really, you know. Ask the Holy Spirit then, who? Who around my life do you want me to begin to contend for, pray for, break through for in the light of what we've just been saying? Our weapons have divine power to pull down strongholds. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. This is against principalities and powers and authorities of this dark world and all of that stuff. Who are we going to the stronghold, into that place, to then contend for? Now, what I want us to do is everybody to move and respond. So, no matter what congregation you're in this morning, is step out of your aisle, your chair, and make your way forward in some way or other. As a response to say, right, I am stepping forward out of my row, out of my place, and I'm stepping forward, and I'm if you like, just as a practical, physical step, David went to Baal Perazim, where the Lord breaks out. And I want you to take a step as if you're stepping into these people's lives, and you can come to the front in the aisles or wherever, as if you're saying, right, I'm going to the place now of Baal Perazim. I'm going to go to the place of stronghold, so you could stay where you are for that, because I'm going to go to that secret place where it's just me and God, and I'm contending for these friends, family members of mine. But also I'm going to go to the place of Baal Perazim. I'll go to wherever God is saying to go. I'll do whatever God is telling me to do in response to the prayer, and whatever he leads me to do, I'm going to go to that place where the Lord's going to break out in their lives. So let's go. Let's just move now. And and just have in your heart the people, the family, the household, the individual, the couple, whoever it is. You could have several different people, friends, work colleagues, family members. I don't know, somebody you've met recently. You're involved in a ministry and the people, they're just on your heart. You're reaching out to whoever it is, doesn't matter. But what we're doing now is we're responding, saying, I'm going to the place of Baal Perazim. I'm going to the place where the Lord is going to break out and I'm going to see God do what he's put in my heart for those people. And so I this morning, right now, wherever you are, as we're all just stepped out of our places now, just raise your hands. Just lift those people before the Lord right now. Just name them. Tell the Lord what their names are. Tell him who they are. Just give him their names right now. He knows them, but just give them to him right now. These are the names. They're this and this and this. This family, that couple, that individual. I give them to you. My boss or those that you might manage or lead in the workplace. Whoever they are, some of your staff, whoever they are, customers, clients, just give them to the Lord. Father, I lift them to you right now. And Father, I thank you that you put them on my heart. I thank you, Father, you're going to stretch my spiritual muscles. You're going to stretch my capacity a bit as I go to the stronghold, as I go into that place where I'm going to pray, where I'm going to be stretched a bit. I might have to discipline myself. I might have to say, right, I'm going to do 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day for that person. I'm just going to sit here or stand here, and for 5 minutes, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to speak over their lives. I'm going to begin to get in the stronghold. I'm going to go down on my knee and up knees, and I'm going to pray for them, and see the enemy's power over their lives broken and the control over their lives broken, his hold over their lives defeated. And Father, I thank you as I go to that place, I'm going to begin to see a release in that place of victory. And then, Father, I want to go to that place of Baal Perazim. I want to go to that place where I see you breaking out in their lives, where I see them coming to know you, where I see them bowing their knee and getting totally set free, where you, as the Lord of the breakout, then break out in their lives. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Praise your name. Now, wherever you are now, just pray this. Any spiritual barrenness, just say that out loud. Any spiritual barrenness, I command you to stop in my life. God has put spiritual multiplication in me to win and make disciples. And so, Father, I thank you right now for your life being released in me, to be reproduced through me, that others come to know you in the same way that happened to me. That they'd be set free. And they would walk with you and never go back to the darkness. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I exalt you over their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give them a shout of praise. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we praise you. We thank you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Oh, Baal Perazim, the Lord breaks out. The word peratz means to break through. And that's the grace on your life, to see breakthrough, to see breakthrough, to see breakthroughs in and around your lives. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Come on. Amen. 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 Well, be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.